My name is Arnfinn Andersen. I'm a sociologist and working at the Gender Research Institute here in Oslo, at University of Oslo. My project actually is now on friendship and see how friendship have in a way changed in our society. How many people have trained friends and how many people don't have friends at all. But previously I have been also doing research on gay and sexuality, and I also been doing research on friendship among gay men. So, and I've also been working on making this partnership law for marriage in my previous jobs. So I've been both a researcher but also a bureaucrat in a way. So one other thing which I've been doing is doing research on citizenship and especially looked at how gays have been struggling for getting that. I've been doing a study on how this criminal act was against gay sexual activity between gay men, and how this have changed in the 1970s, and how the society have been leading to more acceptable attitudes to homosexuals, but also how they have what types of strategies which they have been using in the gay movements to get where they are today. And in many ways you can say that one of the success stories in Norway is that when the Criminal Act was changed in 1972, where it was forbidden to have sex between men, and in the period afterwards, in many ways it was made in connection between the feminist movements, the ideas which the feminist movement also had to give people equal rights between men and women, but many of the same types of ideas was also used for gays and lesbians. And one of the main strategies to get this new law which can give people this equal rights concerned to marriage was that based on European human rights laws, they could argue for that not giving people the same rights as heterosexuals had is a way to discriminate people. And a society which are based on equality, which is a very strong idea in Norway, not just between gay and lesbian or between men and women, but equality in a social democratic society is a very strong word. So it goes into the ways of thinking of equality, and that this way, in a way, I think it's have been the reason why we have got this equal rights in Norway between lesbian and gay and heterosexual people.
If you can explain to me what the notion of citizenship means in that equation.
Yeah. The notion, the meaning of citizenship is that when we had this criminal act, it was forbidden to have certain forms of identities or too long to have sex with a person with the same sex as yourself. And in that manner, you have no citizenship for your way of living. At once, when you get are recognized in a way as a citizen, as having sex with the same sex as yourself, then all other types of issues is coming up. How should you be protected if the person you're leaving are dying? How is your situation compared with other people's situation compared to the protection in a way? If somebody dies, you can lose all your a lot of money, your household, everything could be damaged in a way for you. So in a way, the struggle to get the same rights as marriage people have in this country is a way to also to get a formal citizenship, because it's regulate not just the law but also is a way of recognizing that you are a citizen at equal terms with other people. So I would say that the idea of the marriage was a good platform in a way to make both Norwegian aware of your equality, to show how similar the situation is for gay and lesbians compared to heterosexual people. So that is a way into it in a way to show your equality and the impact of citizenship in a way is very easy to point on when you are going to be married, if you have children. Everything in your social life is so organized around those types of questions, and it's also connected to other part of the law system, which is related to pension systems and rights to have a leave when you have a new baby. So it's many things in the social democratic society which is organized around marriage and that thing.
What is your involvement in the partnership, achieving the partnership law, and also I suppose the Marriage Act later? What do you think is the kind of foundational equality framework in achieving that? I mean, I suppose it's the idea is to achieve this strategically as a way of getting equal rights. Now, there is also some other discussions in the gay and lesbian movements internationally, and I understand also in Norway, about queer identities and different ways of living and more plural understandings of sexuality. Mm. How did you relate to this along that path?
I was working in the ministry from 1989, when this question was been taken up from all the politicians, they should in a way make a law for gay and lesbians. At that moment, I was on a personal level against it, and the reason why is that in many ways I was thinking on marriage as a very conservative way of understanding organizing sexuality. I was thinking that it shouldn't be the sexuality in a way which should to give prioritize to people's life, because you get benefits by the way you're having sex with other person because you are recognized as a couple. And I mean that it shouldn't be that you have a sexual relationship a couple, but more the need to people have sharing household, which should be a more better way of organizing your life. And the reason is that many in many ways we have families relationship which just is more and more complex in a way, the way you establishing families. But in the same way we are supporting one types of structure in a way ready to marriage. So in a way, the first way I was thinking, oh, should we go in this heterosexual model, be quite alike heterosexuals? But at the same time, I saw the benefits also by getting these types of law, which really meant recognizing people's similarities related to sexuality. So it was, so over time I was convinced that that was the right way to go. But I didn't have the possibility to decide this. This is the politicians which was driving this law through, but I was working in the ministry as a bureaucrat and giving advice for them. But,
you were advising?
Yeah.
And so you are part of the Partnership Act?
No.
Or the Marriage Act?
I'm the Partnership Act.
In the Partnership.
Yeah.
So once this is in place, I imagine that there is a whole issues of what these families are going to be like and what it means to be a homosexual couple start to come to the foreground. And I understand that you have done some work on this idea of a new family.
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about this?
Yeah. I've been doing research both on single heterosexual men who are taking the main responsibility for the child, but also doing research on gay men which have made an agreement with a lesbian couple over having a child together. And I have been, so my PhD is about how do they organize their family relationship when they have been doing things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, for me, what was very interesting to see how the child, in a way, was making the structure for the family and not the household as a structure for the family. And the way I'm saying it is that, thinking about this, is that the way all the forms of negotiation going on before the child is coming, who should have been the main responsibility, where should the children live, how should we, in a way, organize our household, not just inside, but also should we move together close by, living in the neighborhood, all these things of thinking about the social structure around the child make the child, in a way, in the center for constructing the family. So in many ways, you can say that this family is driven by the child. The idea of the child and what is the interest of the child.
Do you find that this is this differs in heterosexual households?
Yes, it differs in that way that if people are divorcing, in a way, they are splitting up households, and at least in the first years, it is many of them have problems in cooperating related to the child. What should be my responsibility? What should be the mother's responsibility? All this is stuff is some form makes some conflicts around those types of negotiation about what is the best interest for the child. But in a way, for the gays and lesbians, it was the main project to negotiate. They started out negotiating on something they want to have together. So that means that they haven't the couple relationship in the first place. They have started out to find ways to be together around the idea that they should also have a child together. And that makes a quite another way into making possibility or to developing your own place as a, not your own place, but your own fatherhood. that change the way you're thinking about yourself, your own identity as a father, because it is not your own right, your tradition as a father. You have to negotiate it with other people about how should this fatherhood be together with two other people or four other people.
So you suggest that this is a new form of parenthood in a way, or fatherhood in a way?
Yes, it's a quite a different form. And you can, in many ways, also learn a lot about how to develop families in this way. Because when you're not so concerned about the divorce, the anxiety, the conflicts which many heterosexual couples actually do have, you can also see how it is possible, not without conflict, but in a way, together with other people, actually form the family by negotiations for doing the best for a common child.
It seems like a kind of fundamental interest of yours in that is the well-being of the child.
Yes.
Is that something that you have been researching?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the aim of the research?
No, not the aim of the project, but in a way, it is in research on families. In a way, we have always been focusing on the women, the man, the fatherhood, and the third person is the child. But for those families which I know are talking about it, it is more or less the child which is coming first, and that changed the way you looks at the family in a way. And that was for my also I didn't think about this in these terms before I was starting out my research, but suddenly when I was making research on post family, I saw the central position which the child actually did had.
So the family, the ideals of home is reconstituted in a way.
Yes, you can see that the reality of the home and the household, it's quite changed. If you have a joint custody with another child, with the other person, and at the same time you have to discuss with another person what type of food should this child have, eat, what should the toys be, what types of when should the child go to bed? Everything which we actually think it is the right that people have to take by their own, to have their own decisions about as parents, they have to take these discussions between each other, and that makes that the way they was developing their own household was in forehand negotiated before the household was established, and that changed the whole structure of developing the day, because in many ways you can say that when the parents was alone with the child, the mother also was together with the child in the same household, because they have an agreement about what type of food are they going to eat, when should the child go to bed. So in many ways, everything which have the decisions related to the child, there was an agreement in forehand. And that, I mean, I will say that this is another way to look at the processes in a way, how the family structure is made.
Is this kind of debate something that is also taking place at a governmental level with institutions that are overseeing family development and implementation of?
In many ways, you can see that that in a society where I think around 50 or 60% of all children before they are 18 years would experience that the children, that the parents are going to be divorced. In our society, we have then made a Child Act law, which actually tried to secure the child and give the child more rights in a way, due to the parents. So they should in a way be more aware of the needs of the child instead of their own needs in a way. So in that way, I would say that gay and lesbian, which I've been making a study on, is some form of avant-garde for our own society. They're going in front of a trend in our society, and they're going in front of the legal legal system also.
This might lead me to ask you about a notion of masculinity as it is related to fatherhood, because I think that there is, something must shift along those lines, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you have been concerned with?
Yeah. In some ways, I have been. My interests are more about the question of destabilization, queering fatherhood, queering motherhood, queering identities for families, but also in this way to developing masculinity in a way. It is both demasculinize those men in a way, because it makes the women and the men more equal in the way they're negotiating about the children's needs in a way. So this authoritarian father, it is not a part of my informant strategy in a way to behave against their own children, but more about negotiation, both with the child, but also negotiation together with women about the needs for their own children.
But on the debate about equality of gender in Norway, I think also within heterosexual couples, there has been a shift in terms of that authoritative or patriarchal father,
mm.
in which responsibilities are more balanced, correct?
Mm.
I mean, or is this just an assumption, or
that's right?
Or is there a similar development along
It's a similar development, and you can, in many ways, you can say that the social and political shift in Norway, those families which have been doing, have been studied in a way, have taking a part of the main shifts in the rest of the society. They are on the top of the surface of the idea of, for example, negotiation around masculinity, because you are gay, you have to confront the ideas of how to be masculine. So that means that they're also taking those types of questions is also being brought into, in a way, the way they are developing their own fatherhood. I have made some comparison to the other data set which I also have been using, and there you can see single men have a more authoritarian way to behave against the children than the gay and lesbians, or the gay men.
You mean single heterosexual,
yes.
Men?
Mm.
Has the emphasis of your work changed a bit with the possibility of adopting as a gay couple, as opposed to having a child with a lesbian friend? Or
In many ways, you can say that this, not a surrogate mother, but in this way of constructing family, which is not constructing by sexuality, by couples, but in a way, just that friends are going together to get a child. That is, many have been questioning the way to do that, because it's how should this be? How should the child be taken care of? Who has the main responsibility? So all these questions have been coming up in many ways around. But when the child, in a way, are there, people are more or less concerned about the actual things which they are doing, how they actually concrete, how they're taking care of the child. And in the debate about these ways of making fatherhood and motherhood, the concrete way of take care of the children is coming up, and people see that it is not quite different than people which is divorced also have the same types of experience, have same types of solutions on many of the same problems. So as I said, it is like this, that those changes which gay and lesbians are a part of is also very tight connected to other change in the society, which actually is that to be living in a couple, to be living in a heterosexual family for the rest of your life, it's not the whole family structure system is more complicated today. It's not square way to live in a family. That makes it also more easy for people to develop new forms of families.
I imagine you are influenced quite a bit from queer theory, and I also understand that queer theory is a kind of a sensitive subject when it comes to legislation and so on, and to the official gay and lesbian movement, you know. But how do you think there is a moment of reconciliation between this notion of queering the home and queering the space? Because it seems like that's inevitably what is happening as a result of the official legislation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And in many ways, I feel that to use a queer perspective are more or less just some form of method to see what actually is going on. And not just jump on identities which is established in a way. But because if you can have a discussion about what is, how is the fatherhood constructed in a way, how it is queered in different position, in different context, you can see that our social identities isn't so stable in a way. And you can see, looking on that, not just on queers, but also on normal heterosexual men. So in a way, that makes it more easy to have a discussion about, also about politics. How should we, in a way, organize social relationship? So I feel that this is a good way to go further on in a way, to develop new forms of politics when you can use those types of methods.
Can you expand on that? I mean, that seems provocative, but I think that maybe you can push it more for the sake of understanding what you mean.
For example, this project which I'm actually working on now is we have which is about friendship, and the ideas about friendship is that this is quite different from to be living together with a couple, and so I have a discussion about how is to be a couple or and to be a friend, in a way, it is more or less, it is going tighter and tighter together in a way, because the ideas of intimacy is common for both of them. You should be close to a friend, but you should also be close to your partner. And many of the same ideas as equality, which is a part of friendship, is also a part of to be a couple. And this means that social structures, which is quite different, recognized compared to citizenship, in a way, we can see that our way of living, in a way, is not. When you see all these people is divorcing, you can see that also that friendship is in a way coming in this new holes around people when people are living together, living from going splitting up in a partnership. That means that the way we are now, the way we are understanding in a way the differences and the needs for each other is more complex and more similar than before. That means that people isn't losing ground when their partners are leaving, but they have had a friend which also is very close to them. And that means that one way to look at the society, that it is fragile, that people are living out of are divorcing, and that is a very individualistic society. At the same time, you can also see that when you see that 85% of the Norwegian people says that they have very close friends, that means that those types of different structures, in a way, related to the way you is thinking of them as related to intimacy, are more close, and means that the people have got a new forms of structure around their life, which is make their life more safe and secure, because they're not alone in a way in the world, if the partner are leaving, or if they are have just a friend. So it's a way to, by querying question of intimacy, you can in a way also understand new forms of solidarity in the society.
Did that
make sense?
No, it didn't make sense. In fact, it makes me think about, because there is a discussion amongst gay communities internationally, I suppose, that what constitutes a family is not because of oppression and discrimination, it's not a blood link, but a link of friendship.
Mm.
So it seems to be a similar discourse. It's
yes, and I'm using this, using it not just and not in this project focusing on gay and lesbians, but I'm focusing on the whole population, and it is a quite strong shift from the 1970s up to now, where friendship in many ways are upgraded as a very important part in people's lives. And with all this new technology around you, it makes it more easy for you also to have close friends and following them up during the day. So instead of looking at this society as an individualistic society, we can say that new forms of information technology, new ways of work, new ways of working in a way, makes new forms of social relationships possible. And that means also that friendship is a more central structure for Norwegian to be a part of. And that could, in a way, over the time, also change the way you are thinking about who should be more or less rely on. Should it be a family member, or should it be your friend? I think we are going to be more flexible around this, both heterosexual and gays and lesbians.
And in that frame of mind, what is the relationship between friendship and and sexuality or sexual relations.
Mm.
Is it something that is related or?
Yes, it is more common today to say that you have had sex with your friend than before. That was a taboo around that question, but it is not just in your when you are young. It just could also happen later on in your life. So I think this shift in that you both can have. I don't say that this is a lot of people who actually do have this, but that the sexuality is the way you in a way actually are making a division between friends or a partner. It could be other things which you can make a difference between a partner and a friend. It could be about the way you're understanding yourself, your longing, your ideas of life. Could be, so sexuality could perhaps just a could be just a part of your life, but not the way you make distinctions between sorts of relationships.
But it does, I suppose it does beg the question about the difference between friendship and love.
Mm.
And what is the role of love in this discussion?
I think that love are coming in many different forms. And I don't think that love is just one thing. We have a heteronormative society which actually want to organize our way of feelings in different types of social categories. But I think it is going to be more open how these forms of social categories are going to be organized and what could be a legitimate way to have a partner. For example, to have a partner which you don't never have sex with. It could also be a way of having a partner and vice versa.
I just read Edmund White's last book called City Boy. You know Edmund White?
Yeah.
And it's about his life in New York in the 60s and 70s. And he's saying that in the 70s, amongst the gay men population in New York, the understanding of love and friendship and intimacy were completely separate, and were embodied by three different persons amongst him and his circle. So they had somebody that they had sex with, somebody that they were friends with, and somebody that they were lovers with.
Mm.
But then he says that that after the AIDS crisis, this figure merged again into one. So there was a kind of reversal from understanding those three roles into again one. A figure of a friend and lover and everything in one person.
Mm. It could be. Yeah. It is interesting this, if you're going to compare between different societies, I think Norway related or Scandinavia related to friendship is very special. We have studies which shows very different way of understanding the concept of friendship between the European countries. The Scandinavians and, for example, people from Italy had quite different way of placing friendship in their lives. And that is very related to the family structure and the importance of family in your own life. For example, for many Italians, they are very related to the family, and that both on that they can't leave the home before they are 40 years old. That makes also quite another possibility to have friends in the same. And the meaning of friendship is quite different compared to a Norwegian context where people are leaving home around 20 years old, going to study some places, then the structure of friendship is more important. And you're living in a society, it's not a Berlusconi society, but it's a society where people should have equal rights. That also have an impact on the position of the concept of friendship in the society.
Since you're speaking about another country and a different culture, there's a question I want to ask you in regards to your research, as it pertains immigration and multiculturalism in Norway, as there is an increasing number of newcomers, a new Norwegian's nest or something.
Mm-hmm.
How does this, with their own cultural baggage and ideas of love, friendship, relationships, and so on, how does this come into play into the ideas that you are mentioning?
Unfortunately, you have a very divided society around immigrants and Norwegian in Norway. So it's, in many ways, we are very separated as cultures. But if you compare friendship among Pakistani men, it could be very similar to, in one way, related to how also gay men have their social relationships. And anthropologists, which I have been reading, which I've been studying cricket, he was showing how intimate those forms of friendship is between the Pakistani men. But at the same time, you have that culture also is very homophobic related to sexuality. So you can see they are different but have some similarities in the way they are managing friendship. But it is a very long step from a culture which are based on other socio-economic systems, which people coming from Asia and other countries, into our society, which is based on another form of education and ways of understanding the individual. So it takes some time to make those types of connection between different types of immigrants and Norwegians.
Because within the gay and lesbian context, I have heard from some of your colleagues that there is there is a kind of growing number of homophobic attacks and bullying within Muslim communities, and how to reconcile this. I mean, how do you teach that, or how do you?
In many ways, you can take on your hat and be ever try to educate other people from other countries about how they should manage their own lives. That is
according to your way of living, I suppose.
Yes, that is one way people are trying to have a discussion about that, and I think that is a very wrong strategy.
Yeah,
I think it's awful to have this view, but to make places and discussions around how we are organizing our life different. Which is not just a question of belief, but in many ways it is a question of how should you do it, because you have to survive also in our society. Many people coming here without any education, starting on the bottom in a society, how should they grasp and use our ideas of how to organize sexuality and all that stuff, because they have to rely on their own family. They have to get new family members into the society just also to survive. That's the structure in a way in their life. So it's not just to educate people, but also to give them social possibilities, actually, which gives them more secure jobs, better income, possibility to take education, which is not on our terms but more on their own terms.
Citizenship, you know.
Yes. So in many ways, I think the way we are in many ways, we are going to cut off hundreds of years of difference, or telling me that I'm going to the United States, I'm going to be an American through just during 1 month. It isn't possible for me to do that. Still, I'm educated and all that stuff.
Along those lines, a question that would interest me is that it seems like the question of gender and sexuality are sore spots in the conversation about immigration, because of the liberal attitudes of, and I will expand it to Scandinavia, not only Norway. I've been following some of the cases, for example, on a teenage girl that had a baby in Sweden an underage boy that was then, sorry, a barely overage boy, 18 years old, that was then sentenced to serve in prison because it was considered to be a rape, even though it was a consensual relationship approved within their culture. Mm. So there was this kind of gender debate that was very heated, or the bullying of homosexuals in Muslim countries. And it seems to me that there is an overarching kind of grabbing onto a political correct discourse, as opposed to opening up to different ways of understanding gender and sexuality when confronted to multiculturalism.
I would say that the right wing in Norway, the right wing, but also the Labour Party in many ways in Norway, are based on specific national ideas about identities, which they are using to, in many ways, to say that those people are different from us. And the way of thinking difference, in a way, pointing out that they don't recognize homosexuals. The right-wing party, Fremskrittspartiet, had never been concerned about gay and lesbian rights at all. But they are mentioning, oh, look at how this Pakistani or other people make stigma around gay and lesbians living condition in Norway. So they're using it in many ways to not give foreigner a right to citizenship. And that is the way this discussion in our society is based. So either you are against or you are with. And that is very sad, because this political case or this political situation is more complicated and needs quite another debate on how we should manage in a way to give people citizenship.
It seems to be also in some under layer a question of beliefs, like religious beliefs, and the threat of difference in that way. Yes,
and then the shift which came with Bush, with religion in the global world, which is used in a political way to. Is also in Norway used to make difference between people, just to ignore people's social rights in a way.
To return to this question in terms of ethics and religion, what is the? How does your research or these ideas about queering these family spaces work hand in hand with traditional beliefs that are supported by religious institutions in this country?
One of the when I was going to present my PhD, one of the previous ministers for family affairs in Norway, she was always so concerned about family values, and journalist asked me, but this is quite another way to organize families. Is this a family? And I said, well, if somebody should be aware or should be glad for this way of organizing families, it should be the Christian Democrats, because those families which I've been studying in a way are have so very strong family values. They are still organizing family on a quite different way, but in many ways they believe in the family and they do everything to make a good family both for themselves and for the children. So they're using the quite normative ideas of to have a good family life. They are moving close to each other. They are planning to have celebration holidays together. They are organizing the whole week more or less, so there should be somebody there for the child. So in many ways they are showing the Norwegian or taking the child out to the mountain. All this thing is very in place in this families.
Did they believe you? Did they believe you?
Yes, I think so. They can see something that still people are organizing. You can't just focus on how people are organizing their lives, but also what type of spirits and aim they have with the way they are organizing their lives.
But that's still a governmental institution, correct? It's not the religion, the...
No, this was this was the minister which I was mentioning, which was Valja Sparstad Høyland. She was minister for the Christian Democratic Party in Norway, and they are the party which is the strongest on family values in a way.
So, but the church would have a different take on this, I suppose.
I don't think they would say that those is in the middle of the family values. But some in the church in Norway would say that this is a good way of organizing families. But the conservative part of the church don't want to recognize it.
But it seems like having achieved such an advanced degree of legislation,
yeah.
In other words, to have a sexual 100%. Citizenship based on sexual grounds may have provided a healthy platform for someone like you or others to reflect on these new ideas about a legal frame of thinking of family also. Whereas in other countries I don't think that there is the possibility of conceiving this simply because there is it's not allowed.
No.
So do you think that is that ground or is really related to legislation? I mean, is that the kind of ultimate good thing about legislation?
In many ways you can, if you're going back to Colombia or going to another country, it's quite another form of structure which is makes possibilities for people's citizenships. That means also for gay and lesbians, it could be quite different way to find solutions in Colombia compared to Norway. But in our society, I would say that the change in the family structure, the change in the way of looking on sexuality, the change in integration, that friendship also is very important for in people's lives. All those types of change, which is not in a part of the discussion in a way, makes the grounds for making new forms of citizenship. Because you have to have arguments which also are felt legitimate in the society which you are going to present them. And I think in Norway we have, and in Scandinavia we have special conditions which make this possible, you know, in our way. I don't think it should be the same way in other countries, but because they are different in a way, But I think that if you look at the citizenship, it is you have to see it as a part of the social and mental structure for the nation and the ideas of the people which is living in the nations. And if you're going to make a good politics for your own country, you have to look at what is the possibilities, where can you make a change, which actually counts. in the future.